Welcome to Federal Insights for May, a discussion on artificial intelligence and data, sponsored by Hitachi Vantara Federal.
For the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration, developing models and training them with data is a way of life. Data comes from the sun to the depths of the oceans and in big volumes. For more on NOAA's approach to data and artificial intelligence, I spoke with the Senior Science Advisor for AI in the NOAA National Weather Service Office of Science and Technology Integration, Dr. Jamise Sims.
So NOAA actually has a scope of, providing guidance and forecasts and information, environmental information, on everything from the bottom of the ocean floor out to the sun, actually. We do this across five, what we refer to as line offices, as well as our staff offices. And so in order to provide the information that is needed for people to take action in the wake of severe storms, it's extremely important for us to be able to receive and manage our observational data as best as we can, most efficiently. And so we receive a large amount of data from satellites, from autonomous systems, from buoys and aircraft and things of that nature. And we provide, warnings and forecasts and information before, during, and after severe storms. And so with the expansion of the data and the expansion of technologies, artificial intelligence is certainly a tool that we use in order to properly manage the data that we have and to be able to make sure that our models and forecasts are improving and growing in accuracy.
And maybe zero in a little bit on the sources of the data, that is to say the diversity of sensors and platforms and so forth. You mentioned from the bottom of the ocean to the surface of the sun, that's probably a wide range of data types and data gathering instrumentation.
Absolutely. We operate both geostationary and polar satellites, and data from these sources are both extremely important for the forecast models that we have to predict weather. Additionally, when it comes to understanding our oceans, we use robotics, the autonomous systems that can explore our oceans and provide information for stock assessments and things of that nature. We have camera systems, of course, on our ships that are able to, take images of the water. We do underwater as well as aerial imagery. And so collecting these, again, these large data sets, what we're seeing with artificial intelligence is the ability to process the information much faster than what we would if we were just using the human eye. When it comes to the forecast models, being able to assimilate the data from satellites as well as other models that we use for initial conditions, again, artificial intelligence is a tool that we can use to assist in that as well.
And maybe a comment on just the sheer volumes of data, because, just a JPEG from a high-end camera is 12 megabytes right there, and you're gathering these by, I'm presuming, the hundreds or millions, plus the downlink types of data, which come in large volumes. Just give us a sense of the scope of it, in terms of volume.
Right. So, one thing I'll say is that when we launched the current generation of geostationary satellites back in 2016, when we launched the GOES-R series satellite, we increased the amount of data that we were receiving by 60 times over the legacy system. And so, again, with this new source of data, in addition to the expansion of autonomous systems, we're talking data within terabytes and larger. The NOAA National Centers for Environmental Information is actually our data steward, where our data is housed, and they provide over 37 petabytes of comprehensive atmospheric, coastal, oceanographic, and geophysical data. So, you know, this kind of gives you an idea of the amount of data that's being housed within the agency. And, you know, as we continue to expand our use of artificial intelligence, it's certainly important that we're looking at the synergy between AI and data. And also, as we continue to migrate into the cloud, these are areas that basically serve, you know, somewhat as a foundational piece for other science and technology areas as we, you know, are evolving in these different fields.
And do the data formats vary a lot?
Yes, data formats do vary. It really depends on the system that is bringing in the data, and also how you are going to use the data. In AI across the government, you know, we are certainly having conversations within our agency as well as with other agencies in regards to AI-ready data and having access to the data. This includes, you know, understanding what the formatting needs are, making sure that that we're providing clean data, and also that it's labeled correctly as well. With artificial intelligence, because it takes a large amount of data, you know, to train the algorithms, the more data you have to train the algorithms, the better your solutions will be. And so it's extremely important that we have the access to the data as well. And so being able to provide the standards and policies for accessibility, for formatting and labeling are extremely important topics that we're discussing right now.
So there's kind of a process when the data is ingested then to index it and to measure it and to otherwise make it so that you can have it useful at a later date.
Absolutely.
Dr. Jamise Sims, Senior Science Advisor for AI in the National Weather Service's Office of Science and Technology Integration at NOAA. We'll return with more of the interview after this short break. I'm Tom Temin.
Hitachi Vantara Federal is built to support your mission and vision. We empower federal agencies in the digital domains that matter most: the data center, tactical and strategic data operations, and digital transformation. We bring together an unmatched portfolio of edge-to-core to cloud infrastructure, AI, and analytics that enable our customers' digital missions and propel our nation forward. Let us accelerate your data journey from infrastructure to advanced analytics. Contact Hitachi Vantara Federal today at hitachivantarafederal.com.
Welcome back to our interview with Dr. Jamise Sims, Senior Science Advisor for AI in the National Weather Service Office of Science and Technology Integration at NOAA. Our topic is managing data for AI training. What do we know about some of the physical storage designs and architectures? How is all of this kept?
So within NOAA, you know, we do have, we certainly use supercomputers, our high-performance computer systems. As technologies continue to evolve and expand, you know, we are also looking to understand and use the cloud more as well. And so being able to utilize cloud resources will give us, you know, the ability for other functionalities in addition to what we have with HPC. It's important for us to understand, you know, to examine when we should be using cloud resources versus when we should be using our high-performance computer resources. But certainly looking to expand our use of the cloud. There are several projects right now within NOAA that are taking a look at that, and specifically with the use of AI.
Because I imagine it just gets to be cost prohibitive at some point to keep building storage subsystems for, what is it, you know, petabytes of data. That's a lot. You've got, you know, 37 of them, and it grows every day. So cloud must be a good option for the long-term approach to this.
Yes, what our AI strategy is looking to do right now, as well as the data and cloud strategies, but understanding, you know, how we can provide an AI-ready data repository is what we look to do. And, you know, we're not totally there yet where we want to be, but, you know, our strategies are certainly examining this area to be able to get us to where we need to be.
So for artificial intelligence, then, the storage, staging, metadata application, all of these things do have a particular way of being done for AI applications as opposed to other applications.
Yes, they do. And, you know, we look to leverage expertise with our partners in order to better understand this area. Because, again, we've been using artificial intelligence within the agency, particularly for weather and climate predictions, you know, as we call it, numerical weather prediction, for about 25 years now. And we actually have over 200 projects, or approximately 200 projects within NOAA that use AI applications. And those projects are at different readiness levels, you know, from research to near operations, and then, you know, projects that have actually gone into operations. And so, you know, we have to be able to store the data, you know, well, first of all, we need to better understand what data is actually needed, you know, as we talk about using AI more across the agency, and then being able to store that data for training purposes, and then for verification and validation of the solutions that we have and the output from that. You know, everything that we do goes through very strenuous processes before we can declare something to be ready for operations, because, you know, our role is to save lives and property. And so we can't, you know, we don't have room for, you know, to put something into operations that has not been through that process.
Sure. And maybe describe for us the team approach. That is to say, you've got computer scientists, you've also got program managers, you've got forecasters that are on the front line doing the work, you've got your data managers and so forth. So I imagine a lot of people have input into how this is all prearranged for eventual application to the AI training.
Absolutely. You know, within our workforce, of course, we rely heavily on our scientists, our engineers. As you said, there's a lot of data analytics that's involved, you know, in what it is that we do. Communication is a big part of this. And when we talk about, you know, providing a forecast, there's a lot that goes into creating that forecast. And, you know, we have to look at the observational data that we have in addition to the modeling data that we have and radars and things like that. In order to develop these forecasts. And so, you know, how can AI assist us in pulling all of this together so that we are processing, doing the post-processing and allowing our forecasters to efficiently, you know, meet their goals and provide those warnings and watches.
And the issue of having diversity comes into play here too, doesn't it?
A diverse and inclusive workforce and team. Within NOAA, our strategies certainly demand that as well when we talk about, you know, training the current workforce as well as the future workforce to work within our agency. Because as you mentioned, it's interdisciplinary and we need skills, but we also need different perspectives in order for us to do our job at the best that we can.
And I guess the workforce has to kind of interact pretty deeply, because you mentioned observational data versus modeling data. And if the, I'll be real simplified here, if the modeling data says it's going to be cloudy and rainy Tuesday, and the observational data shows that it's sunny and warm, then that could be the training of the AI in that machine learning generated forecast doesn't match something. Obviously didn't match something. So that might give you a clue to do some back engineering.
Right. So what we use AI for a lot is actually understanding the physical parameterization of our models, right? Being able to choose which physical parameters will give us the best model results, the best forecast. Additionally, we use AI to understand what the errors and biases are within our models as well. And so having that, having the ability to use AI as a method to update our models when needed is very beneficial for creating an accurate forecast. And we also don't want to overwarn. You know, we talk a lot about underwarning, but we also don't want to overwarn the public. And so being able to use these different tools and being able to advance, you know, where we are with our science and technology use will allow us to provide those accurate forecasts. And we've certainly done very well lately, particularly for the severe storms and you know, a lot of people look at us for hurricane information because of the impact that those storms have. So you can see over the years the trend of how we're improving.
Dr. Jamise Sims, Senior Science Advisor for AI in the National Weather Service Office of Science and Technology Integration at NOAA. We'll return with the third and final segment of this interview after this short break. I'm Tom Temin.
Hitachi Vantara Federal is built to support your mission and vision. We empower federal agencies in the digital domains that matter most, the data center, tactical and strategic data operations, and digital transformation. We bring together an unmatched portfolio of edge-to-core to cloud infrastructure, AI, and analytics that enable our customers' digital missions and propel our nation forward. Let us accelerate your data journey from infrastructure to advanced analytics. Contact Hitachi Vantara Federal today at HitachiVantaraFederal.com.
Welcome back to the third and final segment of our interview with Dr. Jamise Sims, Senior Science Advisor for AI, the National Weather Service Office of Science and Technology Integration at NOAA. We've been discussing how to manage large data sets for AI training. Walk us through a scenario of you want to develop a model. Where do you obtain the algorithm for that? And then how do you do the data selection initially that you think might give the result that you want that algorithm to produce, given the data that you're going to train it with? How does that all work?
Well, of course, you want to know what problem it is that you're trying to solve. And it certainly goes back to understanding the physics and the math behind, you know, how to get to these different solutions. In regards to AI, using AI for that, it's the same, you know, understanding. It takes a lot of education and training on understanding what method should we use when. Because, you know, now it seems there's a lot of talk about artificial intelligence, and sometimes it may sound as if AI is something that can solve all problems, and that's not the case. And we know that. And so being able to determine when we should use AI and when we shouldn't will certainly be impactful to our work as well. As it relates to the satellite data and the atmospheric conditions, you know, having high resolution data will certainly support, you know, our newest models and work that we're doing in those areas, and being able to ingest that data, you know, getting back to the pre-processing of information. And so as we continue to grow our systems, our observational systems, and collecting the different physical parameters from the observational data, you know, particularly understanding the clouds, from the actual clouds, not cloud computing, the atmospheric conditions.
Yeah, the real clouds.
Right. atmospheric conditions, radiation, you know, these are things that we certainly have to get right within our models in order to have that good forecast.
And we should ask you about NOAA's AI strategic plan, something you led the development of. How do you develop a strategic plan for something amorphous like artificial intelligence? And tell us, well, let's start there and then maybe go through some of the elements in the plan.
Okay. So, yes, we developed a NOAA artificial intelligence strategy and strategic plan. And the goal is to ensure that we are coordinating and you know, growing in areas, especially where we've already seen the major benefits across the agency. Our goal, our strategic plan, our strategy has five overarching goals. We want to make sure that we are, that we have a good organizational structure put in place, that we are able to facilitate the collaborations across the agency as well as with our external partners. Additionally, we want to take advantage of the research that's going on. We do partner with academic institutions on research as well. And then, you know, beyond advancing the research, we want to accelerate the R2O process. You know, how do we actually get these research projects into operations when they're ready? And then we talk about within this strategy, growing the partnerships, be it with academic institutions, private industry, as I mentioned earlier, across the federal government. All of this will serve as force multipliers for us to actually meet our mission. And then the workforce, as we just talked, upskilling our current workforce, as well as providing the opportunities to train the future workforce. When I was an undergraduate student at Jackson State University, I did an internship with NOAA, and that internship was using a genetic algorithm to parameterize a model that locates the Gulf Stream. And so that was actually, even though I didn't know it was AI at the time, but that was my first AI project as an undergraduate student. And so we want to make sure that, you know, we are continuing to provide these training opportunities for students.
And I guess you could consider yourself a leader in making sure that women are part of the whole STEM piece here, because this is so important to everything we do in society now is technologically based. Is that part of your role also, would you say?
Naturally, you know, women, like I said, we have to have these diverse perspectives. Our mission is to serve the nation, and we also have global impacts. And we need to have teams that actually mirror the diversity of our nation. So women, Blacks, you know, people of color, we have to have these diverse perspectives if we want to produce the best product and services.
Were you able to watch a GOES launch, since you have a lot to do with the operation of that program?
Yes. Actually, I saw the launch of what was at the time both GOES-R and GOES-S. GOES-R is currently the operational GOES East, and GOES-S is now the operational GOES West satellite. So yes, those were very exciting times.
Dr. Jamise Sims, Senior Science Advisor for AI in the National Weather Service Office of Science and Technology Integration at NOAA. To hear this interview again or share it with colleagues, please visit federalnewsnetwork.com and search Insights. I'm Tom Temin.
Thank you for listening to Federal Insights for May, a discussion on artificial intelligence and data, sponsored by Hitachi Vantara Federal on Federal News Network.
Hitachi Vantara Federal is built to support your mission and vision. We empower federal agencies in the digital domains that matter most, the data center, tactical and strategic data operations, and digital transformation. We bring together an unmatched portfolio of edge-to-core to cloud infrastructure, AI, and analytics that enable our customers' digital missions and propel our nation forward. Let us accelerate your data journey from infrastructure to advanced analytics. Contact Hitachi Vantara Federal today at HitachiVantaraFederal.com.